care to mark your books at number 272. That will be our invitation song this morning, number 272.
I bid you all good morning. We've got a good number out with us here today. We're glad of that. We appreciate your interest in spiritual things. It has you to be up with God's people today. We do have visitors among us. We want you to feel welcome. We want you to feel like our honored guests here at the Clarksville Church of Christ, and hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We enter into a part of our worship where we continue to bring glory to God by preaching and teaching His Word. Peter one time said in the book of 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God. And he ends that verse by saying that God in all things may be glorified. And so I hope you appreciate the fact as I bring forth my lesson today. I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint here in a few moments to my left, your right. And I'm going to provide you book, chapter, verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything that I wish to preach and teach here today. So your faith does not have to stand in the wisdom of some man, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 5. We're going to continue on today with a series of lessons in searching for the Lord's church. Last week, we talked about the need to search, that God has always wished for man to search for the truth and to search for Him. Truth is found in the Word of God. Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. It is the seed of the kingdom, Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 11. That is, when you sow the Word of God, the kingdom of heaven is the reaping, when those who hear that Word and believe it and are obedient to it. In our good reading we had a few moments ago, in Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. One of the problems we have in the religious world today is folks do not understand and appreciate the value of the church. That the church is of divine origin. It's not something that men may just begin to start or to found on their own. But the church that we read about in New Testament days was founded by Jesus Christ, and it was always eternally in the mind of God. In Ephesians 3 and verse 10, a passage we read last week, it said, the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what I'd like to do here today is talk about the origin of the Lord's church. Upon this rock I will build my church. And what I want us to appreciate is that we look at this very critically. If we are truly just simply searching, where is the Lord's church? What is it? We can look for its origin to help us to distinguish it from counterfeits that have been established in the world. We can always distinguish an institution from another one from its origin. There is an overhead door company around here that they call themselves the original overhead door company. And that is to try to distinguish itself from everything else. And what I want you to understand, that the origination of something helps us to distinguish that. So if I can find the origin of the Lord's church, that will help us to distinguish it from churches made by men. The psalmist said in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So for those of us who are interested, and I believe I'm talking to everybody here that does, interested in finding the Lord's church that He said that He would purchase with His own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28, let's take a look and see what the Bible has to say about the origin of the Lord's church. First of all, would you understand this? It originated in the last days. Isaiah prophesied, and it shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Again, Micah prophesied in Micah 4 verse 1, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. The house of the Lord shall be established. Well, what is a house of the Lord? I'm glad you asked that, because in the context of what we're talking about, allowing the Bible to be its own commentary, which I always encourage you to do, Paul said in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, I write these things unto you that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Now listen, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. The house of the Lord is the church of God. It is the church that Jesus said I would establish. And it was prophesied that in the last days this house would be established. Well, when are these last days? Have we come to them yet? Well, I want you to appreciate that we have. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts in chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, they're answering a question. When the apostles were there, endowed by the Holy Spirit, speaking in languages that they had never learned before, that they had never studied, so that all the people there that were gathered, as he says in verse 5 of Acts chapter 2, that were gathered from every nation under heaven, the apostles there are speaking the gospel in all these different nationality tongues so they can hear it. And he said, what does this mean? Peter said, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit. Peter says, what you're seeing is the fulfillment of what was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. And he distinguished it by saying it was the last days. The last days, the period of time since the close of the Jewish dispensation, this is the last days until the coming of Jesus Christ. Peter recognized that the event in Acts chapter 2 were taking place in the last days in fulfillment of divine prophecy. The Hebrew writer said in the Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, showing us that we now live in the last days, talking about Jesus, he says, he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So as I begin here this lesson, I begin to catalog and put together this puzzle of trying to find the Lord's church, I want you to first of all understand that it was to be originated in the last days. But also, not just that. Not only was it to be established in the last days, it was going to be established in the city of Jerusalem. The Word of God is very specific about the Lord's church and where it was going to be established. The Messianic prophet foretold in Isaiah 2 and verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go into the mountain of the Lord, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That house of the Lord that was going to be established in verse 2, he says, people are going to say, let's go, because the word of God is going to be first began to be preached in Jerusalem. Which city is called the mountain of the Lord? Well, as Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 3, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of the host, the holy mountain. In Jerusalem, the Lord's house would be established. In Zechariah 1 and verse 6, therefore saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts. It is prophesied by Zechariah and Isaiah that the Lord's house would be established in Jerusalem. Remember where the Lord's church was to be built or was being built in Acts chapter 2? In Acts 2 and verse 5, where are the apostles when the first gospel sermon was proclaimed? In verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And so I want you to appreciate here this morning that the Lord's church was going to be established in the last days, and it was going to be established in the city of Jerusalem, exactly where we see the very first gospel sermon proclaimed by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2. But also I want you to see this. It was going to originate in the life of some of the disciples which were there listening to Jesus. Some folks think that the Lord is still going to establish his kingdom sometime out in the future. But the Lord's church, his kingdom, is the same thing. In Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give you keys to that kingdom. The kingdom of God, the church, was going to be established by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. speaking of this kingdom and its establishment, Jesus himself to bear witness for us to understand the origination of it. In Mark 9 and verse 1, it said, Jesus said to them, truly I say unto you, that there'll be some of them that stand here right now, which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. In Acts chapter 2, when the Lord's church originated, some of those very disciples who were there when Jesus spoke those words were able to see the kingdom of God come with power. If not, then there are some pretty old folks still walking around waiting for the kingdom of God to be established. The kingdom of God, the church, was going to be established in these last days in the city of Jerusalem. And some of those disciples who were hearing these words were still going to be alive when that church was going to be established. But also, the Bible says this, that the Lord's church was going to be originated in the days of the Roman kings. Let me show you that. The great image of Daniel chapter 2 is Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. King Nebuchadnezzar has a great dream. And he interprets that dream for him there in Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 44. That great image, you may recall, is broken up into four different metallurgical groups. And he goes on and describes here that these are four world powers. And he says then at the end of that, that in the days of these kings, that is the fourth kingdom, shall the house of the Lord, the kingdom of God, be established. From secular history, we can see that being fulfilled. The Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, was the first world empire in 625 B.C. to 538 B.C. The second was the Medo-Persian Empire. That was the second world power. And in 538 B.C. to 330 B.C., we see the Grecian world, the third power there by Alexander the Great. And finally, the fourth and great world power was the Roman kingdom. It was the fourth world power that began with Augustus Caesar in 31 B.C. that went through 476 A.D. Daniel says that in the days of this fourth kingdom will God establish his. Out of the four kingdoms listed there, which kingdom does the phrase in the days of these kings refer to? It is the Caesars of Rome. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 14, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel. Who was in power? Who was it that was reigning when Jesus began to go through Galilee and to preach those very words? Well, all we got to do again is allow the Bible to be its own commentary. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar Augustus was in power when Jesus was born. In verse chapter 3, verse 1, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod the tetrarch of Galilee, brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Thornicia, and Licentia, and of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto the John, the son of Zechariah, and he preached the gospel in the wilderness. Well, I got to tell you, how does a fairy tale stand begin? Those of you who've ever watched Star Wars have kind of seen this, right? A long, long time ago in a land far, far away. And why do you do that? Because it's a fantasy. You can't propagate a fantasy on somebody and give them an exact time or an exact location because it's too easy to prove it a fraud. Listen to the word of God in regards to when it was Jesus came and began to preach that the kingdom of God was come. The 15th, not the 14th, and not the 16th. But the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, he's the governor of Judea, Herod, he's tetrarch of Galilee. His brother Philip, he's the tetrarch of Iturea. In other words, very specific place. And I'm going to tell you exactly when it happened. I'm going to tell you where the figures were ruling at that time. The kingdom of God was prophesied. I'm going to establish it in the last days. I'm going to establish it in Jerusalem. Some of you who are alive right now hearing this are going to see the church established. And I'm going to establish that in the days of the Roman kings. And we'll see that throughout. In Acts chapter 20, 22 through 25, the Apostle Paul there speaks of that very much of the Roman Empire. Acts 25, 10 through 11, we see Paul there appealing to Caesar. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, as Paul is in imprisonment in Rome, he says there, the household of Caesar salutes you. In the days of these kings, the church shall be established. So we begin to see the origin of the Lord's church. But also we see this, that the Lord's church was going to be established after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. Again, in Mark 9 and verse 1, verily I say unto you, there will be some of them that stand here that shall not taste death till you have seen the kingdom of God with power. That power there was the Holy Spirit being endowed upon the apostles and them having the ability on that occasion to speak in tongues. And again, allowing the Bible to be its own commentary, we can see that. In Luke 24 and verse 49, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, talking to the apostles, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Why go to Jerusalem? Because that's where I'm establishing my kingdom. I said it over 700 years ago. That's how you're going to know my church from the churches of men, because not only am I going to tell you when, I'm going to tell you where, and I'm going to tell you what's going on when it's established. And he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there until you are endued with power from on high. The kingdom of God was going to come with power. And I read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when the Lord assembled there with his apostles, he said unto them, but ye shall receive power. Listen. After that which the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. I know that the power that was going to be there, that was going to be a mark of the church being established, because Jesus said, this is the power I'm talking about. I don't want you confused about the subject. The power is going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon you. So according to these two passages, the kingdom of God was going to come with power. The apostles were to receive the Holy Spirit, and when that came upon them, they were going to preach the gospel, and the kingdom was going to be fulfilled. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles were, listen, filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2 and verse 4. Thus we have the kingdom of the Lord's church originating with power after the Holy Spirit came upon them. When? In the last days, while some of those disciples were still alive in the city of Jerusalem. In Acts 2 and verse 47, I read, and the Lord added to the, watch it, church daily, such as were being saved. The kingdom of God is coming in Old Testament and New Testament days, all the way up to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, while the folks are there alive in the city of Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit has come upon the holy apostles, and they have been endowed with power upon high, they preached the word of God to all the nations that were gathered there on that occasion, and the church was established. The Lord was added unto it daily, such as were being saved. And finally, I want you to see this. The Lord's church originated when the word was first preached among all nations. The Lord's church did not produce the word. Let me say that one more time. The Lord's church did not produce the word, but rather the preaching of the word produced the Lord's church. Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 11 that the seed of the kingdom was the word of God. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, I read there that there was gathered there in Jerusalem at that time men under from every nation that was under heaven. Why were they there? It was the day of Pentecost. It's one of the three great feasts the Jewish men had to come back to Jerusalem for every year. And Jews from all over the world, speaking all different kinds of languages, were there and could hear the word of God proclaimed. Speaking of Lord Church, Isaiah said, all nations shall flow into it. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord, from Jerusalem. And that's why Jesus and his apostles have preached the word. In Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name among all nations. Listen. Beginning at Jerusalem. That's Acts chapter 24 and verse 47. Why was the word of God preached at Jerusalem first? It was prophesied that that's where I'm going to establish my church. I'm going to do it in the last days. Alike, people are going to be alive. They hear my voice. The apostles are going to be preached the word of God. They'll be endowed with power, and the kingdom of God shall be established. In Acts 2 and verse 41, I read, those that gladly received the word were baptized, and there were added to them about 3,000 souls. In verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, and the Lord added to the church daily such as was being saved. The word of God is the seed. In any community and in any age, when we plant the word of God, the Lord's church is produced in every respect, even its origination. When I plant a seed corn, I expect to receive corn. When I plant a seed for strawberries, I expect to receive strawberries. Every time. And when I preach the words of God, I will receive the Lord's church. Again, I want you to take a look at some of the originations of many churches in the world today. Roman Catholic Church, 606 AD in Rome. Martin Luther's church in 1520 in Germany. Episcopal Church in 1534 in England. Presbyterian Church in 1536 in Switzerland. The Baptist Church in 1607 in Holland. The Church of the Brethren in 1708 in Germany. And John Wesley's Methodist Church in 1739 in England. The Moravian Church in 1830 in Fayette, New York. The Adventists in 1830 in Massachusetts. The Christian Scientists in 1866 in Boston, Massachusetts. The Christian Church in 1906 in Cincinnati, Ohio. You can tell a lot about the church by its origination. And I want you to understand that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And if I am interested and you're interested in finding the Lord's church, I want you to understand that its origination will go a long way in helping you find that. Because the Lord said that it was going to be in the last days. In the city of Boston, Massachusetts, right? No. In Jerusalem, in the lifetime of some of the disciples that were hearing that. To give further evidence, it was going to be in that fourth world power, the Roman Empire. The Holy Spirit was going to come upon the apostles, and it was going to originate when the Word of God was first preached among all nations that we see happening in Acts chapter 2. And I think if we've learned that lesson, at least spark our curiosity in regards to what the Word of God has to say about the church and its origination, I think our time has been spent very profitably. You listen well today. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you this morning. Maybe there's one in our audience not been obedient to the words of God when he said, go into the world, preach the good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. That was the message proclaimed in Acts chapter 2. And those that gladly received it were baptized, and the Lord added him to the church. You see, you don't become saved by joining the church. The Lord adds you to the church because that's his saved body. And you can become a part of that here this morning by being obedient to the word. We're going to extend the Lord's invitation to you right now, and we're going to sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to me anyway, come forward now and stand.